From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I am Chase Parm, flying solo today for at least the introductions, but a good guest today. We are in the Ole Miss Athletics building, sitting down with Ole Miss Athletics Director Ross Bjork. About 50 minutes with Ross today, where we talk about everything from Matt Luke and his first season, what Ross sees as the expectations for that program, to what Kermit Davis has done so far since being hired. And then we also discuss facilities, Mike Bianco's regular season success versus some of the lack of success in the postseason, and a whole lot more. Some updates on the NCAA timelines. Is that thing finally coming to an end? And much more with Ross today on the show. We're going to get to that in just a couple minutes. Before we do that, we'll tell you the podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You get the Speed Pass Plus. Been telling you about it. It is the app to help you save money. When you download the Speed Pass Plus, you pay right there at the pump. You save money along the way, and you don't have to worry about identity theft, credit card skimmers, or the like. When you head into the convenience store, you pick up a daiquiri for as little as $3.99, or as big as 44 ounces if you so desire. Blue Sky locations up and down I-55 and throughout Mississippi with Craddock Oil. And then, even though I am not quite in there today, we've got the equipment from the Clark Ford studio. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South there in Amory. You give Corey Clark a call during business hours, and he'll hook you up with a quote in as little as 15 minutes. Shopping around, take the deal, whatever you would like to do. But then when you come back because he gave you the best price, tell him you heard about it on the podcast, and he'll take $500 off the quote at Clark Ford, again, in Amory, 662-257-1900. And then we've been telling you about Blue Delta for a while. If you'd like to see what it's about for yourself, they're going to be in Tupelo for a fitting at Queens Reward Meadery. That is on McCullough Boulevard in Tupelo. Friday night, they're doing trivia. Saturday night, they're doing live music from 5 to 9 there at Queens Reward in Tupelo. So go look at the different selections they have to offer. Talk to the guys from Blue Delta. Let them hook you up. And tell me you heard about it on the podcast is the reason you are there. We would appreciate it. So, again, we're going to sit down with Ross, or I'm going to sit down with Ross for a while. We're going to go through a kind of a year-end review, also a preview of next athletic year for Ole Miss. Cover a lot of topics. Have a good conversation with him as we are getting almost through with the dead days. Media day next week, and then fall camp starting in a couple weeks as well. So, here's myself and Ross Bjork on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Ross, good morning. I have to ask this. I went back and looked at some timelines. You got hired March or April of 2012, and you only had about 6 months there before the whole Adrian Wiggins things happens and things gets rolling right in that direction. Does it feel like finally – I know the appeal is still ongoing, but is there some sense of normalcy to maybe what you came in and signed up for at the beginning?
Well, if you if you do the math, I think I've really only had 4 months of my start from really April 2012 until August of 2012, where we did not have an NCAA matter on our desk, and unfortunately we still have that NCAA matter on our desk because the appeal is still underway. And so I think really, once we hit the spring, I think the Rebel road trip sort of was a restart, if you will, sort of a rejuvenation is what I called it, where we could really go out and say, okay, here's new coaches, here's new leadership platforms, here's sort of a new day. The worst is behind us from an NCAA perspective. We know what the worst is. We still have the appeal, but we know what the worst outcome is. And so, yeah, I do feel like, we're able to do the things that we're supposed to do. Academics, build the programs, build buildings, sell tickets, raise money, help our coaches, be in the best position, allow them to have success and flourish and recruit and do all those things. So I would say, yeah, for the first time, we've had, very little drama. we're able to do the things that we're supposed to do and really kind of turn the page where it does feel like a normal, whatever normal is in college athletics. I don't know if there is such a thing, but whatever that is, we're able to kind of flip that page and really just kind of refocus and reset as we move into, 2018-19.
How do you feel like it has gone from the road trip stops you've done, just seeing people out, from a morale, fan base getting over it, public trust, all those type of things? How do you feel like that's kind of coming along?
I feel like it's a work in progress. And to me, no matter what challenge you go through or what high moments you go through, I mean, if you're Clemson or Alabama, you still have work to do to build fans. And so even though we've had our challenge, I feel like it's a never-ending campaign. We're always campaigning. But there's no election date, for us. The people that come up to me face-to-face, in person, I mean, being on vacation last week, people wearing Ole Miss gear, I'm wearing an Ole Miss visor, an Ole Miss t-shirt, people are saying, hey, are you? Yeah, I'm the AD, I'm Ross Bjork. And they're like, hey, hottie toddy, keep it going. Hey, we have all the confidence in the world. So the people that come up to me in person, face-to-face, whether it's Rebel Road Trip, whether it's out with my family, whether it's a work function, if you will, whether it's seeing somebody at a luncheon, people are really, really positive. They're tired of what we've gone through. They're sick of it just like I am, but they're ready to move forward. They're confident about, things that we have in place right now. And so I feel really good about the morale, but I also know, hey, look, there's people out there that are doubters. There's people out there that are sick and tired just like we are. They may not believe 100% in what we're doing. And so we have work to do. We have to get them back the best way we know how. And that's just positive attitude, hard work, trying to implement different programs. I mean, people have made fun of the year of the fan. I get it. I hear some of that. But you know what? If it changes one person's perspective, then it's worth it. So we can't just stop. We can't just shut down that aspect of our program. But the people that come up to me, I feel like we're turning the page, and it's, a continued work in progress.
How's your email?
My email's fine, really. Honestly, the people that have my email's public. I don't put it on the website because I don't want to get, hey, where's the softball stadium, or how do I get to the tennis complex? What time's the game tonight? But my email's public. The people that email me, they have comments, they have suggestions. They may not like the fact that we lost in the baseball regional or whatever. But you know what? I think for the most part, people are like, hey, you know what? This is a great program. We have great success, a great foundation. Even though we have had our challenges, you think of all the things that have taken place, and we could go down that list, but there's been a lot that's happened in the last 6 years that's very positive for our athletic program. And despite the challenges, those things are still here, and now we can really capitalize on those things.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a vocal minority, but I see a lot of it because of what I do and on websites and things like that. I think there's a disconnect at times thinking, well, I care so much when, it's your livelihood, it's your reputation, it's everything else. I mean, the coaches and the ADs and the administrations, they're going to sleep less at night than the fans are when all this crap's going on. I mean, it's not like you're just going to put it to the side and go, hey, I'm getting a paycheck tomorrow and everything's great.
Right. Absolutely. No, this is a lifestyle. It's a livelihood, like you said. You know what? Yes, do we want our families to be secure and safe? And of course, I mean, everybody wants that. But look, we're trying to win. We're trying to compete. We know that in the SEC, there's no days off. And that's how we look at it. And so, you can never be satisfied. I think I tweeted out something about, no status quo in our program. And that's really permeating throughout every sport. I mean, Coach Yolette, Coach Davis, they didn't come here and say, hey, I'm an SEC head coach, I'm going to kick my feet up on the desk and I've arrived. No one thinks like that in our program. And so you're exactly right. It's a constant churn of how do we get better? How do we improve? How do we compete in everything that we do?
I have to ask, where is the appeal? What's the timeline? And are you guys at a point where you're kind of just waiting and done, or what?
We have not had our hearing yet. So we have our hearing later this month in July. And after that, I'm probably done predicting timelines on when we get outcomes, but I would anticipate sometime this fall. So during the season, we'll have the final outcome on the appeal. So hearing in the next couple of weeks, we sit and wait, we get the final outcome, and then, we move forward from there.
Reading through all the documents and you guys' responses and stuff. They're very persuasive, very well written, very well done as far as a case. And to this point, things haven't gone as obviously as well as you hoped. Maybe this is unfair. Maybe this is unanswerable. But do you even allow yourself to kind of constitute in your mind what would be a win in this thing at this point?
You know, obviously there's really four things that we're arguing. So if you look at it from a technical standpoint, we have the unofficial visit restriction, which is very onerous and really almost impossible to even monitor. How do we even keep track of all the kids that come to our campus when they just show up? So we have that issue. We have the postseason, the second year postseason ban, which is financial, which is brand, you know, reputation, which is obviously an opportunity for our young men to play in a postseason game. And then we have the lack of institutional control. And then we have the Rebel Rags allegations. So it's really those four things. So, you know, is one more important than the other? I think it depends on how you look at it. From a financial perspective, the postseason ban is very, very important. I mean, that's an $8 million loss plus ticket sales, again, brand management, you know, maybe hope for our fans. The unofficial visit restriction affects recruiting, which affects your team, which affects winning, which affects, you know, revenue, you know, long term. And so that aspect is very important. And then lack of institutional control. We just feel like, look, we had issues. We had a lot of issues. It was a high volume. But there was never a systematic breakdown. And that's what institutional control is when you have a systematic – we didn't have that systematic breakdown. We had people that committed violations, and we admitted to that. And so we're arguing all those points. You know, so what is a win? It's hard to say. I want our program to move forward and succeed, and I think the recruiting piece is probably the most important thing if you really had to rank them. We need that recruiting restriction because that affects, again – affects winning, it affects the roster, it affects financial, it affects how many people come to your game, it affects all those things. So if we look at it from a victory standpoint, we would take that unofficial visit and probably move on, but we also want the other things because that's what we believe in.
You mentioned Rebel Rags, and I get asked this a lot. Y'all are strictly spectators in the whole Terry Warren thing at this point, right?
Correct. The timing of it, you know, perhaps there's a benefit at some point in time. If that case was already settled, perhaps it's a benefit in the appeal, but because of the timing, we don't think it provides any sort of benefit, you know, during our appeal process. Again, whenever that gets settled, perhaps it's a benefit at that time. We just don't know what that outcome is.
How are season ticket sales and those things for football right now?
You know, we've got work to do. There's no question about it. So we're down around 18% from where we were at this point in time last year. The high water mark for season tickets was 2016 and 2017, where essentially we were sold out. And so we're back. We're on the public side, we're just over 36,000 season tickets, and we've sold around 5,500 student tickets. So we're, you know, 41,500 season tickets right now. And so that's down, you know, roughly, you know, 18% over year to date. So we're really kind of back in the 2014-15 numbers, back in those days. So we have work to do. Part of it is people that were in the ticket brokerage industry were buying season tickets, and they were buying 20 and 50 and, you know, 10 tickets here and 30 tickets here. Those people they're not buying. That was almost 2,000 season tickets. So if you add that back in, I mean, we're not too far off in terms of our core fans. And we have great fans. I mean, I think they'll respond. I think they see the positive offense that we have. I think the improvement on defense. I mean, this is an electric team. I mean, we have superstars across the board. And so I think once the football season starts, I think season ticket sales will pick back up. And I think our single game sales will do really well. And obviously we need, you know, from a revenue perspective, but we also want our student athletes to have the best environment. So we have work to do, but it's not insurmountable.
You guys released all the information about the ways to be still tax deductible and the rubber rewards and the points programs.
Right.
Is there a kind of an easy layman's way to sort of explain how that's come out? Because I mean, I read through it, and frankly, it sounded a little complicated to me as I was going through.
You know, our creative people put together this video.
Uh-huh.
Again, trying to put it in layman's terms, like you said. Okay, here's sort of step by step. But it is complicated. We believe that we are the first really Power Five university to really put out a proactive plan. We attended a tax summit, you know, back in the, February or March, I believe. And there was, 20 schools, all Power 5 schools. And everyone around the table was like, hey, we're just going to wait and see how this plays out. And our perspective was, no, we can't wait. We have to advise our donors the best way we know how. And so we put this system together. And essentially, any gift now, it's really a transaction now, any money contributed to the athletic department where you get a seat priority in your home stadium, football, basketball, baseball, is not tax deductible. Right. And that's an IRS ruling now. It's part of the new law that was put in place. So, but we also want to protect tax deductibility for other gifts, capital projects, special needs, things like that. And so we really just tried to separate those two categories out. If you make a gift, a transaction fee for seats, there's no tax deduction. Right. You still get points and those things can still add up. But if you make a gift separately, then that's where you're going to accumulate your priority points. And that will go into effect for things not on our campus, bowl games, postseason events, those sort of things, College World Series, NCAA tournament, SEC tournament. So we really just tried to separate, annual fund, seating gifts from capital gifts, and then you accumulate points in, different categories. So I don't know if that's a layman's, 30-second answer.
Yeah.
But we really just tried to simplify it and educate and really just be proactive, for our donors.
I think maybe the panic's probably too strong, but a lot of people that read it the first time, it looked like, where you were getting a point, now it's a half point. It looked like some of the monetary, but the point system changed that, at least to them, looked like a detriment off first glance.
You're right. We adjusted the way we calculate those points, but really, if you make a transaction fee for seats, there's no benefit for that anymore. I mean,
right,
you can't deduct it. I mean, if we add it to points and it goes into the other bucket of points, well, then those points could be impacted by tax deductibility. And so you can't blend the two systems, if you will, between one-time gifts and priority seating gifts. You can't blend those, because if you blend them, then you won't have any deduction over here for your one-time gifts. And we did not want to impact people that decide to give, above and beyond their seating gifts for capital projects. We definitely did not want to impact their tax deductibility on that side of things.
Necessity to make sure the other
correct
is in line.
Right. That's right.
We take a break from the show to tell you that the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry does. If you are in the market for a home or a condo in or around Oxford, go to his site, harryalexander.com, click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for. The results that you see are updated daily, and then you just send Harry an email. He'll take care of the rest. ha@harryalexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Now back to the Oxford Exxon podcast.
You mentioned a little bit, Matt obviously guided them through very troubled waters last fall, has handled everything off the field as well as possible. What do you kind of want to see from the team on the field this year, Mary? What constitutes success just from how things operate this fall?
Well, let's assume that we're not, you know, postseason eligible. Let's assume that because that's where we are as of today. I think what we have to do is we have to show momentum, and that means, hey, a winning record. So is that 7? Is that 8? Is that 9? You know, what does that mean? Momentum and positive momentum. We're going to score a lot of points. We're going to be electric on offense. I think everyone sees the talent, you know, offensive line coming back, receivers, obviously a lot of depth there, a lot of talent, you know, high level talent, you know, great quarterback, a new quarterback who's highly talented. And then, you know, we've got a new running back, a squad back there that has to prove themselves. So I think offensively, and then our tight ends should be electric this year. So offensively, to me, showing that we're going to score a lot of points, we're going to be exciting on offense, because that generates a buzz, that generates the entertainment value, that generates, hey, I want to come watch this team. And then we have to show improvement on defense. I mean, Coach McGriff knows that, Coach Luke knows that, but I think these guys are hungry to prove themselves. So I think we'll see improvement on defense, and what that does is that shows momentum to continue to build the program. We know the 19 class. We've already got, I don't know, 22, 23 commitments. Mm-hmm. So we're doing very well in recruiting. We've got to hold on to that momentum. We've got to finish on a couple key prospects that are out there. So to me, what we need to see, assuming no bowl game, positive momentum, winning record, continue to recruit at a high level, because that builds the foundation for when all this stuff is over with. Man, we are right back to where we were, you know, at 14, 15, 16, clicking on all cylinders. It's electric. It's fun. People want to play here. Our facilities are new and fresh, and we'll continue to evolve and get better there as well. That's what we need to see, you know, for this team. And then I want our fans to really, you know, buy into that and see, hey, these guys are trying. They're working hard. They love Ole Miss. The coaches are extremely committed and they're passionate. So really it's a total package of, now do we want to go 12-0? Sure, absolutely. We'd love to win every game. Yeah. And that's going to be the goal, and we'll compete for that. But to me, momentum, excitement, building on, you know, what we've accomplished really during this tough stretch of really holding things together, being mature about it, having guys believe, you know, in these coaches, in this university, you know, really for the long term. So that's how I look at this upcoming year.
Yeah, you know, it's probably hard to completely judge, you know, for all purposes, a first-year staff when, yeah, they're trying to get the players on campus better, but they've had very little impact on the overall roster. I mean, nothing against current players, but you can't really fix things except over time and recruiting and whatnot. So it is what it is.
That's exactly right. And I think you really – if you look at how we played the last, you know, especially the last half of the year, that's when we played our best football. And so, to me, that's when things started gelling, you know, around the program, where they're buying into the culture, they're buying into the system, they're buying into the discipline, they're buying into the organization. You know, I think the great thing about Coach Luke and sort of his leadership style is, you know, no distractions. Look, we're going to coach, we're going to recruit, we're going to play hard. We're going to work our tails off in the summer. I mean, the way these guys are working, I mean, I've been to a couple workouts. The intensity level is more than I've ever seen it here. And so there's just been a shift in mindset, I think, from, again, that blue-collar approach that we talked about when we hired Coach Luke. That's what we needed, and I think that style is coming into play where we've had a full year to really adapt to that.
Seems like the program got not just the win or who it was against, but winning the Egg Bowl and finishing on that note seems to have changed everything. Because, I mean, I'm just walking out of the stadium, all those different games, you know, morale, positivity, and frankly, momentum compared to Arkansas and A&M, the way those games ended in that state. I mean, it did seem to at least be a jumping off point that maybe you wouldn't be where you were it not for that case.
You know what? I think there's no question it created a ton of momentum. And, you know, set the coaching search piece aside, but I think if you look at how Coach Luke approached that game in terms of pride in Mississippi, having all the Mississippi guys be the captains, and really showcasing to the entire team that hey, this game's important. We're not gonna, we're not just gonna show up. We're gonna come here and compete, and we're gonna win this game. And so the attitude going into that, I think, really set the stage for that momentum, and that carried into recruiting. I don't think anyone anticipated we'd have the recruiting class that we did, given all the, you know, uncertainty and the changes and those sort of things. So there's no question that that game created a lot of momentum for the program, and now we have to use that, right? We have to use that to continue to show momentum this year.
It's July. You mentioned several recruiting things. You're not one of those that follows it every single day in July, are you?
There's no way I can keep up with it. I talk to Coach Luke. You know, if I see something, you know, maybe on Twitter or something like that, I'll say, hey, what about this or what about that, or that looks exciting, or what about this kid? And obviously, if I'm on campus and recruits are on campus and I'm able to interact with them, then I do. But they're doing a great job. I mean, just keeping this momentum. And it's a new sort of environment from a scheduling standpoint. We've had official visitors already on campus, you know, so that's a new wrinkle. Now we have this entire, you know, dead period. So it's a new schedule, but to continue momentum, again, I think is impressive, you know, for this group of coaches.
Is there anything planned new for fan experience, things at the stadium? Kind of what can people expect at this point when they get to Vaught Hemingway?
You know, obviously, facility-wise, we're pretty much you know, done with the major things. We have the new, you know, bell tower and plaza on the north end of the stadium, so that'll be open. That'll be a new experience. The Walk of Champions will really continue, really go from the, you know, the archway by the Union, you know, all the way to the stadium. Where normally what's happened is once we sort of crossed University Avenue, it sort of got lost, and so we're going to have a temporary pathway open between University Avenue and All-American Drive this year versus having to go through the pharmacy building and Coulter Hall. So we'll have our old path back. So that'll be a new experience, you know, pregame. And then we want people to line up all the way to the stadium and make that Walk of Champions, you know, again, from archway to archway all the way to the stadium. So those are some aspects that we're looking at is the North Plaza. We'll also have new ribbon boards on the east and west sidelines. So in front of the press box on the west side, and in front of the Rebel Club on the east side, those ribbon boards were 10 years old, 11 years old. So we're replacing those. So the brightness will match what we have in the south end zone. So again, you're always looking to do, you know, some improvements. We're also looking at ways to highlight Hollingsworth Field. We need more signage around Hollingsworth Field and just, you know, showcase what Doc Hollingsworth has done. So we're looking at some creative things to do along those lines.
What's the update on any other construction athletically around campus?
Right now, the biggest thing that we're working on finishing is the baseball project, the Performance Center. So we're behind in that project. We've had a pretty serious challenge, you know, with the contractor. And so luckily we haven't had to need the space. We would like to have it by now, but, you know, we have a locker room, we have weight rooms, we have training rooms. So we're probably looking at early fall before that project is completely finished, 100% done. And so we're chomping at the bit to get that done. But we've had a challenge. We're working with the contractor and just trying to get the project finished so we can use it, you know, this fall. But otherwise, we're pretty much done. Plaza, baseball project.
Tennis has been done.
Tennis has been finished.
You got, you know, the golf situation.
The golf is ongoing right now. That'll be done. We'll have grass down and grown out hopefully mid-September, you know, 1st of October. So, and that's a great project. Really a game changer for our golf program. So those are some of the projects that are wrapping up.
You mentioned baseball. And I get asked this all the time, and I feel like I have a fairly decent handle on it, but I have a hard time even kind of quantifying this. And I get asked, they win 48 games, SEC tournament, SEC West, Mike's won 40 or more three of the last 5 years. All the things that are going on from an operational standpoint day-to-day of the program are elite compared to not just losing the regional, but they've been to one super regional over the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. As athletic director, how do you sort of play those two parts into each other to figure out what's going on overall with the program?
Right. That's a great question, and that's our job. And that's Mike's job, too, and he knows that. And so the way I assess our baseball program is this way, is to me, at this point in time, our foundation has never been better. So if you look at how we recruit now, we're recruiting at a higher level I mean, you would admit that. I mean, in terms of who we're going after, who's committing and then may go pro, and you have to recruit those guys, because if you don't recruit them and they come, then you're better off for it, you know. And so we're recruiting at a higher level. I think our coaching is the best that it's been. I think Mike always is learning and always getting better, always adapting. I think Mike Clement, we took a big step on offense. Carl is as good a recruiter as you'll see in the entire country, and I think that's why our recruiting has picked up. Our pitching staff, if you look at the talent we've had, I mean, you know, Carl leads that. And so I think our coaching has never been better. You look at the resources. You look at the facilities. We're pumping $20 million into a performance center that's really dedicated exclusively for the players. We have some fan amenity things. We have the dugout club. We have the rooftop. But the building, 90% of it is for the players. So we've never had a better facility platform. And then you look at our fan support. We've never had better fan support. And so if you look at all the sort of the facets of our program, we've never had a better sort of platform and more momentum. And so everyone's disappointed. We didn't finish stronger. We didn't go to Super. We didn't go to Omaha. Everyone's disappointed about that. But the way I look at it is, if you are not in position, if you are not putting yourself in position, if you're toiling around and you're 500 and you're scraping by to barely make the tournament, and no one wants that. We want to be in this position. Now, what we have to do is figure out, how do we get over the hump? In order to get to Omaha, you got to go to Super. In order to go to Super, you got to host a regional. You got to be a one seed, a two seed. You know, you got to be a top flight program. We're a top flight program. And so to me, we can't lose ground on that. And I think we're showing that we're not with, again, that platform that we have. Now we have to figure out, okay, why did we play bad on the worst day possible? I think it was almost a perfect storm. We played a really good team. We didn't play our best, and we got beat. You know, how do we avoid that? So is that pressure? Is that, you know, we ran out of steam? You know, lack of depth, you know, what is that? And that's what Mike will sit down and evaluate. And look, there's no one that runs a program better in our athletic department than Mike Bianco in all facets: student conduct, academics, performance, a person in the community. I mean, Mike's a perfect coach from that perspective. And we all want to get over that hump. And so to me, we've never had a better foundation. We're going to continue to support at a high level. And next year's roster, we look just as bit as talented as we've ever been. And I think we'll be able to take that next step and get over the hump.
Yeah, when we're talking about, you know, you say, well, this happened this many years, or trends, whatever. But in your mind, everything is kind of year to year. Because, I mean, obviously there's not the same circumstances for the most part in each postseason, I guess, as it goes.
Right. That's exactly right. You just don't know. I mean, you can't predict who you're going to match up with. You know, the way they seed in the NCAA tournament, it's not like basketball where they seed 1 through 64. They seed 1 through 16, and so you may get a tough draw like a Tennessee Tech, you know. I mean, everyone was sort of holding their breath that we wouldn't get Southern Miss. Well, gosh, I would have rather had Southern Miss than Tennessee Tech, right? And so the way they seed baseball, you just never know who you're going to get matched up with. But you can't worry about that. You just got to play, you know. Should we have beat Tennessee Tech? Absolutely. Do we have more talent? Absolutely. But you know what? It was almost a perfect storm where we just didn't perform. And so to me, you have to be in position. You have to have the resources. You have to have the process. We have all that. And now we just have to, you know, get over that hump and get to where everyone expects. And the great thing about Mike is he's not afraid. He's got Road to Omaha plastered all over the building. He doesn't have, you know, Road to Hoover or Road to Regionals. He's got the highest level, so he sets the expectations, and now we just need to, you know, deliver and get to that point, and no one knows that, you know, more than Coach Bianco.
We take a break from the podcast to tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Billy's Pecans. Guests join us throughout the week on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Check out their selection of pecans. It's the cinnamon spice pecans are fantastic. My favorite, the toasted pecans. Simple, but you just can't beat them. Dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier, and more. They also have other things, all sorts of goodies, pecans and chocolate, southern pecan toffee, cheese crispies, pecan brittle, coffee cakes, sauces, jellies, and more. All of that at Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, all without that 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. Also, OUB offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try 7 South Tailgating once, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. Whether you're coming up for one game, just all of the SEC games, or you're coming up for all of the games, and whether you have a very intricate tailgate or the simplest of tailgates, 7 South Tailgating can hook you up, make the process of tailgating in the Grove far more enjoyable than having to do it yourself. 7SouthTailgating.com. Now back to the Oxford Exxon podcast.
You mentioned all the resources put in, and it's really conference-wide. I mean, Kentucky's doing a ton, and is an AD and a manager of everything. Does it almost get to a point where you wonder, okay, we're doing this for a – I mean, I know it can be a revenue sport, but a non-revenue sport for a lot of teams. I mean, how do you sort of balance, hey, we've got to stay in this arms race, and we've got to pay, and we've got to do all these things, versus at what point fiscally is this whatever it is?
It's a balance. You know, there's no question. Every day you're balancing, you know, that aspect of it. But, you know, I think if you're a competitor and you live in this conference – one, you have to live within your means. I mean, we're not going to overspend our means for sure, but you always have to look at how do you get better as a program, as an athletic department, whether it's baseball. Look, we build a $11 million tennis center that for all intents and purposes will sit empty for 9 months. We may only need it for 2 months, you know, December, January. You hope you're outside in February and maybe there's a match or two that gets rained out and you have to move inside. Otherwise, that building's empty. But you know what? We made the commitment because that's the right thing to do. So as long as you can afford it, as long as you have people that will help you from a donor perspective, then to me, you always have to look at how do we improve, whether it's fan experience, whether it's player experience. The great thing about Swayze over time is it's been a great fan experience, but the players really never had anything. I mean, they had a locker room that had a low ceiling, tight quarters. The training room was the size of a closet. They never really had, you know, the quality that we need in the SEC. So I look at it in terms of baseball. Baseball is important. Baseball is our second highest revenue sport here at Ole Miss. It exceeds, if you just look at ticket sales and donations, it exceeds basketball right now. I think that can change with Coach Davis. But right now it's the second highest, you know, revenue sport in terms of donations and ticket sales.
Is it a net positive?
It's a net positive.
Okay.
I mean, we generate about $4.7 million in gross, you know, revenue around baseball. That's one of the highest, you know, in the country. So here at Ole Miss, it's important. And so we're going to continue to invest. We're going to continue to look to improve. But it's a balance, you know, that's the starting point. It's a balance, and you have to figure out every day, can you afford this? Can you not afford not to do it? And so that's how you have to look at it.
What'd you make off the regional? And does it kind of take that for it to become a net positive? I mean, you need postseason?
No, we don't need postseason to make it a net positive. We don't have the final numbers yet. Uh-huh. Some of those things are still coming in, but it'll definitely be a net positive from the regional.
I assume Mike will be rolled over for the contract.
Absolutely. Mike will be rolled over to a 4-year window. He had some automatic increases based on incentives. So those things will kick in, and we increased the salary pool for the assistant coaches as well. He lost his operations coordinator, so he's got to replace that position. But yeah, Mike's doing a great job. You know, everyone's disappointed about the finish, but no one knows high level baseball better than Mike, and so he'll have a 4-year contract and just a new window to keep moving forward.
What have you thought about Kermit since he's come into the building?
Kermit's been amazing. I mean, really, just what I love about Kermit is the attention to detail, where you know everything matters. You know, no matter if it's a weight workout, a training room session, a film session, a workout in the gym, a coaching meeting, a staff meeting with our external team, a compliance meet, whatever it is, it matters. It's attention to detail. And what that's going to do is I think that's just going to help us on game night. You know, during that 2-hour window where you're playing those games, all that attention to detail is going to, you know, pay off, you know, in the end, whether it's a tight play at the end, whether it's making a free throw, those attention to detail moments that he's incorporating right now into the culture, I think is going to pay off. So he's created energy. He's created excitement. He's got the team buying in. So I don't know how good we're going to be, but I think we're going to surprise some people just because of the way he's approaching it and because of the talent that was already here, but also the talent that he's brought in. So I think it's going to be an exciting year. And he's just a perfect fit for our program, for our state, for this university, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
And it seems like just because of what you mentioned, his fit, and to this point, even I don't know if he's necessarily committed the guys, but bringing so many guys to campus from a recruiting standpoint, it seems to at least up the energy there, if you will. With that and everything, I would assume that's going to bleed over into ticket sales as well.
I think so. Yeah, we're right now in the renewal process of our season ticket campaign. A lot of that, when you're in the heat of the summer, doesn't really impact right now because people aren't thinking about basketball, but there's already a buzz. I mean, he's out speaking to Rotary clubs and he's all over the state, galvanizing support. And his goal is, hey, let's sell out season tickets. And so he's saying that everywhere he goes. And so, you know, we have work to do to get to that point, but there's already an energy and already a spike in just interest level because really of the way he's approached it.
He's doing all the things that you would almost kind of need for this point of that program too, right? I mean, you talk about going around the state and speaking and not really comparing to Andy or anything, but just in general, that hasn't necessarily been a very kind of outgoing PR spot for Ole Miss in the past, it seems like.
That's right. Yeah, Andy was great for the program, and we all appreciate the work that he did. And we did a couple things a few years ago where we had – the Randy Kennedy stuff and had Jay Billis, and those things were fun. But Kermit just has a different style. He's just got a different approach, and he's willing to go, anywhere and everywhere to sell the program. If it's speaking to 5 people or 50 people or 500 people, that's just sort of the way Kermit is built. And that's one of the things that I thought we needed in our program was to get out and touch our fans and really reach out to people. So he's definitely met that expectation.
You're a couple years into the pavilion, obviously, but you see the Butler home and homecoming, and it seems that scheduling is picking up. Is that Kermit? Is that just the program? Is that the pavilion? What's allowed some of the more marquee things that either have been announced or seem to be on the horizon?
I think it's both. I think it's, one, I think people see, our building is one of the best, in the country. That word continues to get out there. I think Kermit has a great reputation where people know that if they play, a Kermit Davis, team, that it's a challenge. It'll be a high RPI game. And you know what? Then you're going to play at a great venue, and then we'll return that game. And so I think the willingness for Kermit, to go out and play on the road too. I mean, that's a big part of it. A lot of times it's like, we'll play you here, but we're not going to do a home and home. And so the willingness to do that, I think, is a combination of, all those factors, the building, our program evolving, Kermit Davis, as our head coach. So it's exciting to see these type of matchups, coming to the pavilion at Ole Miss.
Looks like your women's coach has made a little move with the dancing on Twitter and everything is to at least get some conversation going.
You know, I didn't see that in real time, and somebody pointed that out to me yesterday, and I'm like, okay, Coach Yo, she can dance now. She gets after it. So her attitude, very similar to Coach Davis in terms of, you know, willingness to promote the program, obviously be very sociable on social media, really engaging. She has – what I was amazed at, I didn't really know this when we first got her name, but everybody that I talked to that since we hired her, watching her give a speech at the Women's Basketball Coaches Association, 500 people in the room, she has this following among the college basketball community where she's developed this niche of people follow her because of her platform, because of how she carries herself, because of her story, being from the Bahamas, being the first woman to receive a scholarship over there. It's really been sort of a trailblazing story that she's had, and it's created a unique following in the college basketball world, and so that's going to help recruiting. That's going to help scheduling. That's going to help the whole platform of women's basketball. We have a great history here. We need to get that back. And so I think she's the right person, and her energy level is just really off the charts. And I guess she can dance a little bit.
Coming off the NCAA stuff, the program was gutted from a roster standpoint. Obviously not a lot of successful seasons. State's been to two championship right. games. I mean, how do you even go about short-term into middle-term judging of that program?
You know, what we've told her, really the expectations early on is get the culture right. You know, just get the roster where you believe these young ladies are going to compete at the highest level. Get the culture right, you know, inside that building, inside the coaching staff, you know, conference room, inside the TUI Center, to make sure that, look, if the culture's right, if the foundation is right, that'll lead to everything else. That'll lead to better recruits, better players, more success. So that's really the starting point. Now, she's a competitor. She wants to win. She's gone out and signed, I think we're up to 9 new players, I think it is. And so, but she's not just taking players to take players just to fill spots. She wants players that can play. And so, again, how good are we going to be that first year? The expectation level is, look, let's do it the right way. Let's get the culture right. Let's compete in every game. We still may get beat, but let's play hard. Let's have a system. And really, let's just be consistent in how we're leading and how we're coaching and how we're managing the program. And that's what she's done so far. And I think that's going to carry over to seeing an improvement, you know, within the program.
You've had several coaching changes, obviously this past season. Overall, wasn't necessarily the postseason results that it's been in some previous years. How do you kind of assess the overall health of the athletics program as a whole?
I think you have to look at it holistically and look at, you know, really every program and how we're performing. And we had our best year in what's called the Director's Cup. We finished 38th. Mm-hmm. We've never finished in the top 40, you know, in the history of the athletic program. And so when I got here, you know, football was obviously off to a good start. You know, basketball, we won the SEC, you know, championship in 2013, went to the tournament in 2015. Women's basketball was in a transition. You know, baseball, you know, was
actually not very good at that moment.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah. So if you take those big four, you know what, we had some success, some momentum, but the other sports, we were down in the dumps. I mean, we had no softball success. Volleyball was toiling. Men's and women's golf were toiling as well. You know, tennis was doing well. Tennis has always done well here. But if you look at our other sports, we were nowhere on the radar. And so we brought those other sports up. Now we have to get football back. We've got to get both basketball programs back. You know, baseball's right there. We're right on the doorstep of breaking through to that next level. We have all the ingredients like we talked about. So I look at it holistically to say, look, if we get football back, which we will, we get basketball and women's basketball, which we will, we're rocking and rolling where we can be a top 25 athletic department across the board because both golf programs are doing well. The tennis teams are back on track. Softball, soccer, volleyball is on the brink of an NCAA tournament appearance. Our track and field teams, they're doing things that we've never done before. So if you look at the foundation of our holistic athletic program, to me, we've never had a better foundation. Now, I get it. People want football, and they want basketball, and they want baseball. They want them to win national championships, and so do we. And so that's how you're judged typically within your own fan base. But I think if you really step back and say, look what we've done financially, look what we've done facility-wise, look what we've done academically. We have our best academic profile in the history of the program. We've never had more success academically. And then you look at, by the way, we're competing at a pretty darn high level. I think overall, you have to say that the department is healthy. We have good momentum. We'll get through these challenges. And the foundation has never been better.
Take a break in this podcast. Tell you the name to know in Memphis real estate is Stacy Berry, a Keller Williams agent who's looking to help you find your special place to call home, whether it's downtown, Midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Keller Williams is the number one real estate agency in the world, number one in agents, units sold, and volume sold. And the Berry home team is now an integral part of that world-renowned brand. If you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollar. So if you're looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, call the Berry home team today and let Stacy unlock Memphis for you. You can reach her at 901-481-6420. Stacy Lane Berry at KW.com. That's Stacy with an E, L-A-I-N-E, Berry at KW.com. Or check it out, theberryhometeam.com. The podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the number to give MasterCuts a call and let them help you out, whether it's building an outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen area, or just take care of your yard all year long with weed eating, edging, and mowing. They do that for me all the time. They are excellent. And tell them you heard about the podcast. They might cut you a deal there as well. 662-607-7773. Podcast also brought to you by Locker Stockers. Take the hassle out of stocking your locker or your suite this football season. A new thing set up for to help you, the customer, really takes the hassle out of something that you might have to go and fit a time period, wait in line a little bit to get in. Instead, they handle the purchase and delivery of the locker or the products to the locker or suite before game day. They're also going to help give you an early sign-up special with a 10% discount on a season package if you sign up before August 1st. 662-586-1487 or email info@lockerstockers.com for information. And the podcast is also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Or underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. So you can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLo at communitymtg.com.
Back to basketball real quick. Well, one last thing on that. SEC gets 8 teams in last year. I mean, Kermit's talked about that having that type of league to play in is one of the reasons that he was really, really interested in this job. Once things get going for an SEC school at this point, what is success from an NCAA tournament standpoint every so many years? I mean, I know it's a kind of an unfair thing and a hard line, but what's in your head?
You know, I think if you look at what happened this past year, which I think can be the norm now, I think everyone in the SEC is committed to high-level basketball. And so if you can get 7 to 8 teams in, and then if you're us and you say, okay, historically we've finished in the top 4 or 5. Historically, mm-hmm. You know, last year, obviously that didn't happen, but traditionally over the last 10 years, we've been in that 4, 5, 6 spot. So if you're in that spot, you're in the tournament, you're dancing every year. And then because of the quality of the league, that should help you be successful and make a run in the tournament. You know, we made the second round in 2013. But to me, we should be, you know, beating on the door of that Sweet 16 appearance. And then, again, you look at what South Carolina did, making it to the Final Four. I don't know what they finished that year in the league, but it was middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. They were a Final Four team. So, to me, the health of the league helps you establish a postseason platform because you played at a high level. And then when you get in the tournament, it's like, okay, we played teams like this all year. We can beat these teams. So, to me, we should be a consistent NCAA tournament team because of our resources, because of the SEC now, because we have been in that 4, 5, 6 spot. And then you make a run. And Kermit knows how to make a run. He knows how to prepare teams, you know, for a postseason run. So that part will be exciting to see all those things come together.
So what's next? Is there a thing that needs to happen construction-wise? What's sort of on your desk for the next next 6, 8, 12 months?
Well, you know, I think, you know, this next year, it's what you said at the beginning, is how do we continue, you know, to rebuild, you know, confidence, trust, you know, morale, whatever you want to call it. You know, we have to continue that you know, that march forward. And again, it's an ongoing campaign. And so we have to engage at a higher level. We have to be more visible than we've ever been before. We have to ask people to help us. We're not going to stop doing that. But we also have to, you know, say thank you and give back to our fans as well. So that's going to be a platform that we're going to continue, you know, to build upon. And then showing that momentum in football. We know football leads the charge of any SEC athletic program. And so making sure football is clicking, you know, at the highest level, supporting our new coaches. Facility-wise, once baseball is finished, you know, the big stuff is pretty much completed, mm-hmm. you know, for the time being. Now, in the SEC, you're never finished. So we need a better softball stadium. We need a better soccer stadium. And so we're looking at sort of a master plan of how we can tie those two facilities, you know, together, knowing that both of them have had some good success lately. We need, again, just a better, you know, venue. Those may be a couple years away before we're able to really get to those. But those are projects that are on the horizon. And then I think long-term, you know, vision-wise, you've got to look at the football stadium at some point in time and say, what happens to that east and west side? That press box has been there a long time. The Rebel Club has been there a long time. You know, people have talked about having the south end zone match the north end zone. I'm not sure that's the best, you know, vision for the stadium. How about getting the east and west sides to match? So what does that look like? How much does that cost? When would that be done? Those are all things that we'll put a pencil to and contemplate, and it may sit on the shelf for a while. But I think you have to be looking long term. And then underneath the stadium, you've got restrooms and concessions and concourses that need updating, need refreshed. The downside of that is once you break concrete or open up, you know, sort of the back of the house,
it's all,
what do you find? Because it's an old stadium. And so I think you have to be very careful as you look at that project. We have to also redo our academic center. We have a Hall of Fame that we'd like to build in the Starnes building that really ties into the, you know, the Gibbs letter winner plaza. Mm-hmm. That's probably a $5 to $8 million project, but that's something that'll occur over the next couple years. We're running out of space in our main athletic building. This building, a one-story building in a very dense campus, is really kind of obsolete now. And so how do we take this building and you know, really look at a long-term plan for this building as well? So those are all the things that we'll continue to march forward on from a facility standpoint.
Anyone going to try to throw you out and link you to other AD jobs next week? Are you done for a while, you think?
I hope not. You know, I get why people talked about the Kansas job. I grew up in Dodge City, but you know, one, it's easy to throw my name out there. I'm a sitting AD. I grew up in Kansas. But two, you have to have interest, which I never had. And two, they would have to have interest, which they never did. They got their guy. Jeff Long's a great fit. He's a great friend. So, yeah, I'm done having my name thrown out for AD jobs in the state of Kansas.
You want to St. Louis for take the kids for a few days? Are you do you like going to the park just to kind of hang out? Or are you're not a scorebook guy or anything? What's your day like?
You know, Neil will kill me, but yeah. You know, we're gonna go cheer for the Cardinals against the Cubs the end of July. Mm-hmm. You know, being in Missouri for almost 7 years, I grew up a Royals fan growing up in Kansas, but being in Missouri, I became a Cardinals fan. You know, great atmosphere. You know, they were winning at that time when I was there. And so our boys love the Cardinals games. And so I go there. I like to have a cold beer and a hot dog and be a fan. And it's fun to see my kids say, hey, Dad, how come we can't go on the field? This is not an Ole Miss game. We're a fan here. We bought the ticket. We drove ourselves to the game. We battled parking like everyone else. So those are fun experiences, you know, for the family. And so that'll be our last little getaway for the summer.
Mustard and relish? What's on the hot dog?
Definitely mustard. I don't know about relish, but mustard for sure.
No ketchup.
All mustard.
Okay. Just wondering. We'll appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
Football season. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks, Chase.